Action Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. Community Matters will not be heard as scheduled today, so we can bring you an early opera start. The Metropolitan Opera coming up in 15 minutes on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From a 1964 recording, we just heard the first movement from Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Violins and Cello in D Minor, featuring violinist Nathan Milstein, violinist Erica Morini, and cellist Harvey Shapiro. This next request comes from a first-time requester, Malcolm in Madison, and is for music of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Very appropriate for today's Valentine's Day program, In My Life. We'll hear performance with the Trioco Rococo.
Mm-hmm.
an arrangement of the Lennon-McCartney tune In My Life, performed by Trio Rococo. Next week at this time, salute to the Oscars on Classics by Request. It's our annual event here on the program when we get to hear your favorite film scores. So please try to get your requests in early to make certain that you get to hear it on next week's program, because again, next week, like this week, we'll only have an hour and a half together because once again, the Metropolitan Opera begins early. To get your request in, you can either send a postcard or letter to Classics by Request, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706, or online anytime, which means go now to our online request form, our website, WPR.org. Right there at the top of the homepage, look for the bar that goes across. You'll see the word music. You click it. The bar comes down where it says Classics by Request. Click that and it gets you right there to the online request form. Next week, salute to the Oscars with our favorite film scores. To conclude today's program, my Valentine to you. In our 35th year of Classics by Request, music of George Gershwin, Love is Here to Stay.
The more I read the papers, the less I comprehend the world and all its capers and how it all will end. Nothing seems to be lasting, but that isn't our affair. We've got something permanent, I mean in the way.
Music of George Gershwin, the tune Love is Here to Stay, that was mezzo-soprano Joan Morris and pianist William Bolcom. A few minutes remaining before we head out to New York for the Metropolitan Opera's performance today, so I think I'll bring back Trio Rococo to play one more John Lennon and Paul McCartney song. This is Here, There, and Everywhere.
Thank you.
Have a happy Valentine's Day. Thanks so much for joining me. You've been listening to Classics by Request on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, in for Margaret Juntwait. Today, we bring you a powerful new double bill of fairy tales about the light and the dark sides of love. Yolanta by Tchaikovsky and Bluebeard's Castle by Bartok. Yolanta is a network premiere starring Anna Netrebko in the title role of a blind princess and Pyotr Bachawa as the young man who opens her eyes to true love. Bluebeard's Castle stars Nadia Mikhail as Judit, who is obsessed with exploring her husband's sinister past, and Mikhail Petrenko as the mysterious Duke Bluebeard. This gripping production is directed by Mariusz Trelinski and conducted by Valery Gergiev, and we're sharing our Saturday matinee live in HD with audiences in movie theaters around the world. During intermission, HD host Joyce DiDonato will interview our stars. Stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, in for Margaret Juntwait, who is ill, and I'm with our commentator, Ira Siff. Ira, what a fascinating combination of operas to be hearing on Valentine's Day.
You know, the director, Mariusz Trelinski, sees fairy tales as journeys into the psyche, and he felt that Yolanta and Bluebeard's Castle both are about women in the shadow of dominant men. In fact, he imagines they could be the same woman in different phases of her life.
His production has a cinematic feel, like Hitchcock or film noir, with evocative images that blur the line between reality and imagination. Now, Yolanta is well-known and loved in Russia. I'm glad it's finally come to the Met, championed by Anna Netrebko.
And she really captures Yolanta's physical vulnerability while singing the music so powerfully.
So let's talk through the story and music. Yolanta lives deep in a forest in the care of nurses and attendants. Her father, King René of Provence, has sheltered her from the world since birth. She doesn't even know she's a princess, and no one is allowed to mention anything to do with sight in front of her, so she has no concept of being blind. But she recognizes something is missing from her life, and we hear this in her arioso.
Well, there's a sense of loss. She says she used to get joy from sounds and fragrances and warmth, but now she prefers the stillness and cold of night. She can't fathom the reason, and will hear her cry out repeatedly, "Ochevo, why?"
Her attendants sing her to sleep, and in the next scene, we learn more about her background through a conversation between her guard and the king's squire. Yolanta has been betrothed since infancy to a duke, Robert, but the king is afraid to let Robert meet her and learn of her blindness. Ira, the king may be controlling, but he's not evil. He has a moving aria in which it's clear that he loves his daughter very much.
Yes, he pleads with God not to punish her for any sins he may have committed. He says he would endure anything if it meant Yolanta would be able to see.
The king has hired a famous Moorish physician, Ibn Hakia, who tells him there might be a cure for Yolanta, but first she would have to be made aware that she's blind. The king is conflicted. What if the treatment should fail? She would now know what she's missing.
And Ibn Hakia counters that the body and the spirit are inseparable. This aria employs exotic-sounding harmonies to suggest the physician's Moorish origin.
Ultimately, the king refuses. And in the next scene, Yolanta's fiancé Robert and his friend Vaudemont wander into the realm. They don't know where they are, but they see a sign warning of death to any who enter. Robert dreads meeting Yolanta because he's in love with another woman. Ira, the differences between the two men's personalities are clear from their back-to-back arias.
Right. Robert's aria is full of sensual passion as he talks about his beloved. His vocal line soars with ecstasy. But Vaudemont longs for an angelic, innocent woman, and his aria builds to a plea for such a creature to appear. Then he sees Yolanta, and the orchestra repeats his melody, but pulsating like a racing heart.
He's drawn to this mysterious girl, while Robert is afraid there's dark magic involved and leaves to get help. Once Yolanta and Vaudemont are alone, they have a mesmerizing duet.
Well, it begins with a passionate outpouring from Vaudemont as he addresses this object of his fantasy. Her music expresses her innocence. She can't understand his meaning, but something's been stirred in her.
And he asks her for a red rose, but she hands him a white one twice, and he realizes she cannot see. He's stunned, and she believes she must have offended him.
Yes, then her music turns tearful. The orchestration's as dark as her world. She believes that eyes are only for weeping. But Vaudemont describes to her how wonderful it is to see, and Tchaikovsky's melodic genius takes flight here. Now, Yolanta responds in kind by describing the wonderful sounds and fragrances she enjoys. Their voices join in a paean to God and to nature, and this becomes a sort of love theme for them, really.
But then they're discovered, and the king is furious that Yolanta has been made aware of her blindness. There's an extended ensemble, as the physician Ibn Hakia suggests that Yolanta can undergo the treatment now that she knows she's blind. But she hesitates.
Well, the desire to see is crucial to the cure, so her father threatens to kill Vaudemont should the treatment fail. And of course, this spurs Yolanta. It's thrilling, this musical moment, as the lovers reprise their love theme.
Yolanta declares, "I will see, and he will live," and she leaves to begin her treatment. The king confesses that he only threatened Vaudemont in order to motivate Yolanta. Then Robert returns with his soldiers, but he recognizes the king. When Robert admits that his heart belongs to another woman, the king releases him from the engagement. Vaudemont vows he will love Yolanta even if she remains blind. But when she returns...
Oh, it's a miracle. In the orchestra, high strings, woodwinds, harps evoke the light of the sky, the beauty of the world around her. Her first response, though, is fearful. She's overwhelmed.
But then she starts to connect faces that belong to the voices that she knows and loves.
And then the rhythm quickens along with Yolanta's visual discoveries. It is impossible not to be moved. Everyone sings praises to God. Tchaikovsky's rich orchestration, the full ensemble of soloists and chorus, just creates a triumphant climax to the finale.
Yeah, the whole last scene is one huge big crescendo. We will hear, in order of vocal appearance, Mazia Nyaradze as Marta, Anna Netrebko as Yolanta, Catherine White as Brigitte, and Cassandra Zoe Velasco making her network broadcast debut as Laura. Matt Bowler is Bertrand, and Keith Jameson is Almeric. Ilya Bonick and Elchin Azizov, both in their network broadcast debuts, are King René of Provence and the Doctor Ibn Hakia. Alexei Markov is Robert, Duke of Burgundy, and Pyotr Bachawa is Count Vaudemont. The concertmaster is David Chan, and Valery Gergiev conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and Chorus in this network premiere of Tchaikovsky's Yolanta.
Now, we're going to hear a kind of mournful prelude soon played by woodwinds.
The set for the forest is gloomy and surreal, full of bare, uprooted trees that dangle above the ground. And during the prelude, we'll see a giant projection of a doe being hunted.
And then as the action begins, we'll hear some ravishing kind of quasi-Mozartian chamber music.
Yolanta's dwelling is represented by a small room, like a box in the middle of the forest, pale and sterile like a hospital, the back wall decorated with antlers. We can see two of Yolanta's attendants. They laugh and they sneer at her, but she only hears their sugary words.
It's such a touching effect, how appreciative she is of what she thinks is their kindness.
Here is Maestro Valery Gergiev. Let's hear Tchaikovsky's Yolanta.
Thank you. Я буду искать. School.